All right, let's do this one last time. My name is Johnny J. I was bitten by a radioactive spider, and for the last year and 2 months, I've been the one and only host of the DMSW podcast. Man, I'm pretty sure you know the rest. I launched the podcast. I went to Disneyland with my son. I went to Disney World in August with my 6 kids and absolutely sweat my face off. I went back to Walt Disney World in January to close down Splash Mountain and meet up with some of my fellow Disney podcasters. And thanks to all the magic and all the special moments from the park that night, I came up with the idea to start a charity organization. So I reached out to my friend Hannah, and we formed Podcast Mics for Magic. We teamed up with a bunch of our fellow Disney podcasters, content creators, small shop owners, and we raised almost $7,000 for the Chalk Foundation when we all met up in Disneyland on May 30th to close down Splash Mountain out there on the West Coast. And after everything, I still love being the host of this podcast. I mean, who wouldn't? So no matter how many hits I take, I always find a way to get back up. There's only one host of the DMSW podcast, and it's me, Johnny J. So what do you say, Colby? You want to fire up that theme song? We'll get this party started. My name is Johnny J, and this is episode 57 of the DMSW podcast. Welcome back to the show. This is episode 57 of the DMSW podcast. And if you just finished listening to episode 56 and bounce right over here to episode 57, you heard me tease it there on that episode. This is the first ever multiple episode release on the same day here for the DMSW podcast. Trying a little experiment here today, trying something a little bit different because get your Instagram eyeball emojis ready here. We got some more secret projects going on behind the scenes here right now with the podcast. Some cool things coming up here in the next few weeks. So trying to test out a little experiment here today with a double episode release. Trying to see how this shakes out. See if people like having a double episode. If they're willing to check out 2 episodes on the same day. If they'd rather kind of have it split up here across the week, but. We'll play with it here this week, see how it shakes out. We'll try something new next week, see how that shakes out, and then pretty soon here we'll make the official announcement with what's going on behind the scenes currently. This is not a podcast Mics for Magic type of secret project here. That is something that will come hopefully eventually here further down the road. Like I said, we had an absolute blast running it that first time. Raised a ton of money for the Chalk Foundation. Should have that final number wrapped up here pretty soon. We have Bree from the Darling Dream Co. As I've said multiple times here, going above and beyond to help us out by selling the shirts that she designed for us to all wear in the parks when we closed down Splash and had our final day of the fundraiser. We got so many compliments on the shirt in the parks that day that she helped us out and said she'll put them for sale in her shop, and 100% of the proceeds will all go towards our chalk fundraiser. So very thankful for Bree's support through the event and coming out of the event here as well, with continuing to use her skills in her small shop to help support what we're doing here with Podcast Mics for Magic. So hopefully within the next couple of weeks here, we will have that little final total number to announce. We're very excited. We didn't hit the crazy goal that we put out there of $50,000, but Again, what I've also said a lot of times talking to people about this was a fantastic first learning experience, starting a charity event like this, getting a group together, try to all push in the same direction and raise some big money for charity. So we learned a ton of cool things, and we're already making notes and having discussions about where we're going to take that in the future. So No eyeball emojis today for podcast Mics for Magic, but hopefully in the future we will we'll have more eyeball emojis for that. But the eyeball emojis today are for the DMSW podcast specifically. Have some like I said, some very cool things on the chalkboard here behind the scenes. So we'll play the game here the next couple of weeks, test out a couple different scenarios, see how things shake out, and then like I said, we will announce pretty soon here what we got going on, and very excited to talk to you guys about that as we work through the summer and come into the fall season here in 2023. A lot of cool things going on here at the podcast. Very excited to talk to you guys about it. And if you, like I said, if you just listened to episode 56, you know that was a very aggravated, a very frustrated, a very burnt out Johnny J episode there. That was a secret what really grinds my gears episode there. Today's episode or this week's episode was supposed to be talking about the newest Spider-Man animated movie, Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse. So did a little quick tease on that episode 56, and then went right into the what really grinds my gears, because that's what Genie Plus does to me. It literally grinds my gears. So that was episode 56. If you have bounced over here to episode 57, thank you for checking out this episode as well. But again, I promise you, this episode, spoiler alert, will be a lot more positive. I absolutely loved this new Spider-Man movie. I didn't like it as much as I liked the first Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse movie, but again, this was definitely a fantastic movie. Now, the last time I did a Marvel episode and we reviewed Guardians of the Galaxy, I tried a new thing there, and I did a mini episode or a bonus episode where I did a spoiler-free review. And then my regular kind of standard Monday episode, I did a full episode, full-length episode with a full spoiler-heavy review of the movie. Now, coming out of seeing this movie, it just, I was really struggling trying to think of a way to come up with even 20 minutes of material or content to talk about this movie without spoiling anything. And I don't know if it's possible. This is a very difficult movie to talk about without literally spoiling what's going on and what the storyline really is there. So for this episode here today, or this movie, there's not going to be separate spoiler-free and spoiler-heavy reviews for this movie. So if you have not had a chance to see this movie yet, I cannot recommend enough that you rush to the theater right now and go see it. Go see it tonight after work. Or if you are on your way home from work right now, call your wife, your friend, your girlfriends, your boyfriends, whoever, and tell them, hey, I'm not coming home from work. Meet me at the movie theater. Johnny J said that this movie is fantastic and we got to go see it. So meet me over there as fast as you can. But if you are somebody that hasn't seen it yet, this is the point of the episode where you're going to want to pause it and come back to it. As soon as you get out of the theater and you get back in your car to drive home, pop this episode back on and let's talk about the movie here together, because from this point on, we are going to be spoiler heavy on Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse. And again, just to kind of repeat what I said earlier, just as far as liking it goes, really, really did enjoy this movie. A lot of people out there are saying that this is not only the best Spider-Man movie of all time, but they're also putting it up there saying it's maybe the best comic book movie of all time, or the best superhero movie of all time. I'm not willing to put it that high up on the list. As I said, I actually enjoyed the first of these Spider-Man, the Miles Morales animated movies. I liked Into the Spider-Verse just a little bit more than this one, but that's not a knock on this one really in any way whatsoever. I really did enjoy this movie a lot. And I've also said in the past year, I've played with it for all the movie reviews and TV show reviews I've done on this podcast in the past. I've flip-flopped and changed how I review things, whether I'm giving it a letter grade or a score out of 100 or whatever. I've played with it and tried to find the perfect system for what I feel like fits this podcast and fits my personality. And I think what I've kind of settled on here that I've tried to use is going forward when I review a movie or a Disney Plus show for the DMSW podcast scale here, I'm going to rate it literally on a scale of just five different numbers, one through five, simple as it gets. And because to me, when it comes down to it, and I've talked about it when I reviewed the MCU as a whole, and when I reviewed the Pixar movies, there's so many movies that are just, they're different styles, but you love all of them so much that it's really hard to rank them against each other and give them a different score, kind of slightly. Like I think about doing the point scale from 1 to 100. So if you have that top tier that you just absolutely love, and you give one a score of 96 and one a score of 93 and one a score of 98, like what are those points? How do you get those extra 2 points? Is it just one scene? Is it one character that they had? It's too nitpicky on how to get those different little points here and there along the way. So to try to kind of generalize things a little bit better and not so much rank movies against each other, I want to put them basically into categories where there's an entire group of movies for me that will be a five. And again, any movie in this five section, they can all be ahead of each other, behind each other. It doesn't really matter so much where they slot against each other. It's just, this is that group as a whole where they are to me the elite top end. So that's my five score. That's my elite Hall of Fame best movie ever type of category. It's high as you can possibly get up the scale. A four will be like very, very good, near flawless, but you know, maybe there's a couple of different choices or a couple little scenes here along the way that change it or tweak that rating enough for you that keeps it out of that absolute elite top end category. A three is going to be just a very classic, solid movie, very rewatchable. You can watch it anytime you catch it randomly, flipping through Disney Plus yourself. If you still have cable and you come across it flipping through channels and it's on, you would definitely sit and watch a three movie. But it's definitely not it's not perfect enough to get into that four category, and it's not so near flawless that it's in that upper echelon of a five. A two is going to be basically just your average movie. It's okay. You might rewatch it here and there, but chances are you'll flip past it if it's on, but it's still an okay or at least passable movie. And then a one is basically going to be just it kind of summarizes all those bottom of the barrel dumpster fire from just not very good D minus type of movie, thinking about it from the letter grade type of thing. But you're absolute bottom of the barrel. You didn't like the actors that they chose. You didn't like the direction that they took it in. You're definitely never going to watch it ever again. It's a one and done movie for you. That would be a one. So for me, I would put the first Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse movie into that five category. It is in that upper echelon. Just at the time, it was so far ahead of its time on what we were seeing from an animated movie. The visuals and the animation style just absolutely blew my mind. It was like no other animated movie I had ever seen ever before. The soundtrack was absolutely fantastic, elite, top end, great music choices the whole way through. Music that you just, from leaving the theater, you were going out to your car and looking it up on Spotify or on YouTube or downloading it through your Apple account, because you couldn't wait to just put the songs on and listen to it over and over again for the next few weeks. And the storyline was great. The characters were great. Miles Morales was, for a first-time introduction into a Spider-Man movie, where we all know that the typical storyline and story arc that we get with Spider-Man, he was one of the best new introduction characters that we've seen come into a Marvel movie. Absolutely, just not enough good things to say about that initial movie. And for me, this one here, this new one, Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse, it's so close. It's so close to being in that same category as that first one. But for me, it was just a slight hair or two off from that first one. I left the theater after seeing the first one just mind blown. Like, I've never seen anything like this before. It was just so incredible that I had to give that one a 5. So for me, for Across the Spider-Verse, I'm going to put it in the 4 category, but it's, again, it's not meant to be a knock in any way. I'm not trying to say it was a bad movie in any way, or it's so much worse than the first one. It's just, when I think of that first one, I just have so much respect for what it did for that first time out. And it just, going through it, trying to think of even trying to look for anything that you could kind of nitpick or wish they'd changed or done a little bit differently, I can't find any. I really can't. It's as close to a perfect comic book movie as I think you're ever going to see is what we got in that first Into the Spider-Verse movie. The different voice actors that they used were fantastic. No knock to Across the Spider-Verse for just the way timing works out, but it was one of the a fantastic Stan Lee cameo in that first Into the Spider-Verse movie. And obviously, sadly, Stan has now passed away. Couldn't do a cameo for this newer movie. And so, again, that's not a knock on it in any way, but that's just another one of those kind of special moments that sets that first one aside. It almost gets you choked up, the scene that he gets to have in that movie. And I can't think of a time that he had a scene in the MCU live action movies that it ever kind of almost got me choked up or kind of hit me in those in the feels there. But I definitely got that feeling seeing him in the Into the Spider-Verse movie. So again, just for me, Across the Spider-Verse, just a slight step down from there. The movie did feel, for me personally, it felt a little bit long. This was, I think, 2 hours and 42 minutes, it was just over 2 hours and 40 minutes was the posted time for this new Across the Spider-Verse movie. It still moved along very well. I don't think I ever looked down at my watch to be like, oh God, how much time do we have left on this movie, or how long have I sitting here with this movie? So not meant as a punishment or a brutal feeling on the time, but definitely felt a little bit long. They did a lot of scenes with the Spider-Gwen character in this movie, which I can understand why they did it. She did have a good storyline. The relationship that she had with her dad was really heartfelt. And the visuals, that's the one super positive thing I can say about her scenes, was the visuals, whether it's the when she's playing the drums at the beginning part, or when she has the scene and she goes back to her universe and she talks to her dad in person again. The animated visuals in those scenes are just, they're mind-blowing, just like they were for the entirety of the initial Into the Spider-Verse movie. I saw a description somewhere along the line that said that those scenes were basically like a mood ring, and the background colors change based on kind of how Spider-Gwen's mood is at the time in that scene. And it really does make sense when you think back on those scenes, how those colors change through what she was going through in those scenes. So again, I wouldn't say that they should have been cut out, because they were very crucial to telling the overall story from that movie. But a couple of those scenes did feel a little bit long at times. And again, a movie's 2 hours and 42 minutes, it can feel a little bit long on the overall feeling from it. But again, great soundtrack, great music from this movie as well. But again, if I had to rank it onto the or back against the first movie, I did think the first movie had a little bit better soundtrack on that one as well. But again, same, I feel like I'm kind of almost like a broken record now at this point, because I'm not trying to, by no means am I knocking the soundtrack for this movie. This soundtrack is great as well, but it just, for me, just a little slight step down from the first movie. But love some of the new characters that we got. We missed some of the characters we got in the first movie, even though they did all show back up, almost like a Luke Skywalker-esque cameo. You were kind of waiting for them to show up the entire movie, like, oh, they haven't shown up yet. They haven't shown up yet. And then in the last 2 minutes there of the movie, the whole team shows up that you saw there from the first movie. But we did get a ton of new characters in this. Oscar Isaac was just a fantastic addition to this movie. His voice fit that role of that character so perfect for his version of Spider-Man in this movie. So great addition there with Oscar Isaac. We got Peter B. Parker back, one of our favorites from the first movie. He had a lot more scenes in this second movie, so great to get him back as well. Got a bunch of other Spider-Men, new Spider-Men in this movie as well. So I don't think there were any spider characters that we got in this movie that I was like, oh God, like they're putting too many in. Like, can we cut this back a little bit? And there were a ton of new characters that we saw. Some of them just when they went to the spider headquarters there, you obviously saw hundreds and hundreds of random ones in the background. But I'm focusing on the characters that they gave legit roles to in the movie that had major speaking lines or speaking sections in the movie. Don't have a complaint about a single one of them. I loved every single actor choice that they made. Every voice actor just absolutely crushed it. The humor was on point through this entire movie, the entire way through. Just they really did a really great job with this. Lord Miller absolutely killed it again. And speaking of Lord Miller, another cool thing that came out of this movie that I learned after the fact was one of the funniest scenes in the movie was kind of early on in the movie when we're first seeing kind of the multiverse jump around and the views from a couple of different Spider-Verses. We get a view of a Lego Spider-Man universe in this movie, and gets like I said, a couple of good laughs out of that scene in the movie. Not a very long scene, probably not even a full 60 seconds, I don't think. Probably less than a minute if you have the stopwatch out. But the cool thing that I learned about this scene after the fact was that when the first trailer came out for this new Across the Spider-Verse movie, there was a 14-year-old kid that lived in Toronto that his dad had helped get him into making a YouTube channel and doing some stop animation from his home. And this kid absolutely crushed it. He made a shot-by-shot remake of the initial Across the Spider-Verse trailer with Lego characters. And like I said, it's phenomenal. You got to look it up on YouTube and check it out, because it is so perfect shot for shot remake. And as impressed as you'll be as I was when I saw the video, the producers of this movie, Lord Miller, were just as impressed as well. And they researched and tracked down this kid, and they actually offered him a chance to make this scene in the Across the Spider-Verse movie and said, hey, you did such a great job with your Lego trailer. We want to let you do a Lego scene in this Across the Spider-Verse movie. And I think I even saw in the article, they said that the kid basically did it like on his spring break vacation from school. So, I mean, talk about a life-changing moment for just a random 14-year-old kid from Canada gets a call from Hollywood saying, hey, we saw what you did and what you put on YouTube, and we thought it was awesome, and we want to offer you a chance to do your own entire scene in this Across the Spider-Verse movie. So Just another example of you never know what internet magic can be out there in this content creation world that we live in now with the internet. Anybody can be discovered or find out something cool there along the way at any point in time. So happy for that kid that he got to have that amazing, amazing moment happen for him, and his hard work paid off putting that that Lego trailer together, now getting to be in a legit Hollywood full feature film. And so cool for Lord Miller to do something like that too. You don't feel like you don't see that a lot, or you don't hear that as much these days anymore, where these rich, powerful, super popular people in Hollywood are snatching these just relative no-name people out of the middle of nowhere and giving them some cool major role or experience in a Hollywood movie. So very cool thing to come out of this movie to hear that a kid like that got hooked up and got that cool experience. But again, just that's what this movie really does. They break boundaries. They do things that you just don't see anywhere else in movies right now. And when I say it's when I think you, like I said, you hear people out there saying that this could, in their opinion, might be the best comic book movie they've ever seen. This is to me the definition of a comic book movie. You can feel that the animation was stepped up from the first movie. That's something that I would say would be better in this Across the Spider-Verse movie than compared to the first one. As mind-blowing and as incredible as the visuals were in the first one, it felt like they found that next level and they took it up to that point as well. And going into it, I think into the Spider-Verse, the first time you saw it was such a life-changing experience, movie experience moment. For you were thinking when this Across the Spider-Verse movie was coming out, how are they going to find a way to do it again? How are they going to find a way to bring it up a notch? And they did, from adding new characters, and every character gets almost their own individual style of animation. We saw live action mixed into this for the first time. We saw the Andrew Garfield Spider-Man in a very quick cameo scene. We saw the Tobey Maguire Spider-Man in a very quick scene, and we got Donald Glover live action as the Prowler, which, do we know if that's the same Aaron Davis character that he played in the first Spider-Man Homecoming movie? We don't know that yet for sure. They didn't specifically say what Spider-Verse Spider Universe number he was from, and if that matched up against the Tom Holland universe. But we have seen that character, and that's another one of those cool things that I've learned through doing research with this movie, or just seeing other content creators making videos talking about this movie, characters in this movie, cool stories that have come out of this movie. And it feels like everything around this movie is just positive. I mean, I already mentioned the 14-year-old kid there with the Lego scene in this movie, but the Donald Glover backstory that I found out and learned from this movie was just such a cool element as well. So back in the day when they were casting for the Andrew Garfield Spider-Man movies that they were going to start remaking, it was one of those, hey, it's the secret's out in Hollywood. They're looking to reboot the Spider-Man franchise. They're looking for a new Spider-Man. And Donald Glover at the time was a very popular actor on the Community series, which is an NBC sitcom, which the Russo brothers were tied to. Fun MCU fact there. But Donald Glover at the time threw his name out in the ring and said, hey, I want to be Spider-Man. I want to be the first black actor to get to be Spider-Man. And one of the comic book writers at the time saw Donald Glover on an episode of Community where, like, it was Spider-Man pajamas that he wore in the scene in Community. But through hearing him talk about trying to put his name into the conversation to become Spider-Man, and then seeing him on screen wearing Spider-Man pajamas, a full Spider-Man getup, he contributes him creating the Miles Morales character in the image of Donald Glover. Seeing Donald Glover on screen wearing the Spider-Man suit inspired him to say, you know what, it's time, I do need to create the first Black Spider-Man, and that's what inspired him to come up with the Miles Morales character. To see that, so to see that come full circle, and to see Donald Glover get to be in this Spider-Verse where there is a Miles Morales character and get to play Aaron Davis and get the fans excited, and almost like with John Krasinski as Reed Richards, now you get the MCU fan base all excited, because we saw a live action Aaron Davis in Spider-Man Homecoming with just a very, very, very tiny minor role. But again, just a very little minor cameo in this role, but it certainly opens the door now that if the MCU wants to use Donald Glover as Aaron Davis, as the Prowler in the MCU, that door is certainly open. So it'd be really cool to see if the MCU follows up with that and uses him in the MCU going forward. Now, thinking about the performances that we got in this movie and how the storylines worked in this movie, I was very, very happy with the jump in maturity that we saw from Miles Morales from the first movie, with his first time becoming Spider-Man, first time trying to figure out the powers and how it all worked and how we'd make it work with his life. And I think they did a great job with the storyline and the story arc that they created him for the second movie, and then just the acting performance from the voice actor Shameik Moore that does the voice for Miles Morales for this movie as well. So love the Miles Morales character from the first movie, and love him if possible even more here in the second movie. Really, really love what they did with the character, showing the struggles of now becoming even more involved as a Spider-Man character. And that's kind of one of those things that we all love about any version of Spider-Man that we see, is of that stress and that struggle of trying to balance being a superhero, having these powers and having the responsibility, while also trying to have a family life and have friends and go to school and do all that that type of personal stuff as well, and find that happy balance where you can pull everything off at the same time while having to fight major bad guys along the way as well. So they did a great job, I think, like I said, taking the Miles Morales character and taking him to the next level in this movie as well. Just like the animation as a whole, they definitely found a way to take Miles Morales and the animation to the next level in this movie as well. So huge thumbs up to them. One of my favorite scenes, I think, from this movie is when he's escaping all the Spider-Men, and the Oscar Isaac Spider-Man character catches up to him. They're kind of on that flying train in that Spider-Man universe that they're in, and he basically tells him, like, listen, all of these thousands and thousands of Spider-Men and Spider-Women that you see, and Spider-Pigs and Spider-Whatevers, but all of these Spider-People and spider animals that you see here, spider superheroes, they all follow the canon events. They all go through the same experiences and story arcs, and you need to do it too. And he basically just stands his ground and says, that's not my story. You're not going to tell me what to do. And such a cool scene, such a powerful scene to see that kid step up for himself and literally have all the spider universes out there telling him, you need to do this, this is how it has to happen, and him stand up for himself and say, no, that's not my story, you're not going to tell me what I have to do. So really love that aspect of it, and really makes you just really want to root for that Miles Morales character, maybe harder than any Spider-Man character that you've ever rooted for before. And to me, that takes it kind of, as we go through the movie here and come into the ending of the movie. I think a lot, you hear a lot of discussion out there talking about, because the way this movie ends, we find out that the Miles Morales character was trying to escape this spider universe here and get back to his home universe to try to save his dad from dying in that Spider-Man canon event where the chief of police has to die because Spider-Man chose whether he saves the chief of police or saves an innocent person along the way. And Miles Morales tries to get back to try to do both. He wants to save whatever person he has to save, but also save his dad, because his dad is going to be the chief of police in this universe. But what we find out is the spider that bit Miles Morales wasn't the spider from his universe. When the first Spider-Man movie happened and Kingpin was messing with the collider and they were doing the tests. That one of those collider tests accidentally pulled a spider from a universe, and it didn't pull the Spider-Man out. It pulled the actual spider. So the spider from multiverse number 42 never got to bite a person in that universe. So there's a universe that out there that exists in this movie that doesn't have a Spider-Man. And that at the end of the movie, the machine that sends you back to your home universe, it's tied to the spider that makes you become Spider-Man, because it's wrapped up into your DNA. It tests your DNA. So that's how it knows what universe to send you back. So when Miles tries to escape, get back to his actual home universe, he gets sent back to the spider that bit him, that home universe. So we find out that that universe that he goes to has no Spider-Man. So the Sinister Six are running rampant and the bad guys are in control. And this is a not a good universe to be living in. It does not have that Spider-Man superhero living in it. And what we find at the end is that his dad is actually already dead in this universe, but his uncle had survived, and his uncle never passed away in this universe. So his uncle shows up at his house and takes him out to the roof and starts talking to him. And then you can tell that the uncle gets a little wishy-washy with him. He can tell that there's something off with this Miles Morales, and it's maybe not the right Miles Morales. And then we see him fight somebody, gets knocked unconscious, and when he comes to, he's tied to a punching bag in his uncle's apartment. And he thinks that his uncle is the Prowler, and he tells him, like, you don't have to be the Prowler, like, we don't have to do this, you don't have to kill me. And then the other the Prowler actually emerges from the shadows, and that's kind of the cliffhanger that this ends on, is that the Miles Morales in this universe is the Prowler. So I think, like I said, a lot of the reviews that I've seen, a lot of the people I hear talking about this movie, they're all saying, oh, I can't wait until the next chapter happens here, because we're going to get to see Miles Morales fight Miles Morales. How cool is that going to be, to see Spider-Man Miles Morales versus Prowler Miles Morales? But I think I'm thinking about this in a different light here. I think what we're going to find out in the final, this is my Johnny J. Spider-Man Miles Morales prediction here for the third Spider-Verse movie that we're going to get here. I think that we're going to find out that the Miles Morales Prowler in this universe is actually a good guy. I think he's going to be fighting the Sinister Six and trying to be the superhero or one of the good guys that's in this universe as the Prowler. So I think in this universe, I don't think the Prowler is actually going to be a bad guy that works for Kingpin. I think this Prowler, this Miles Morales Prowler, is actually going to be the standalone superhero from this universe. And I think that's what we're going to find out, because we got home, we obviously were so excited about how great the movie was, how much fun it was, that it made us go home and watch Into the Spider-Verse again. In that movie, when Miles Morales catches Peter B. Parker and doesn't really know who he is or if he can trust him and needs to kind of figure him out, he takes him to his Uncle Aaron's apartment and ties him to the punching bag. So there's some similarities and some crossover there, where this universe's Miles Morales catches this character where he doesn't know if he can trust him, he doesn't know if he's a good guy or a bad guy. He takes him to Aaron Davis's apartment and ties him to a punching bag. So maybe I'm overthinking it, maybe I'm trying to read between the lines a little bit too much here, but that's going to be my prediction for the final chapter of the movie. Now, the theater that I was in, when we get to that ending scene and we learn that Miles Morales is the Prowler, and they end it with a "to be continued" tagline on the screen, I could hear probably half the theater give an audible moan and groan when they saw that on the screen. Like, they didn't know that this was going to end on a cliffhanger, because that's, if I did have to come up with one slight knock or one thing that I would want to change on this movie, maybe at the end of the day, maybe that's why in my head I'm putting this movie into the four category and not the five category, like the Into the Spider-Verse first movie here. I wish they didn't, and this comes back to my hatred for, I think, Marvel trailers as a whole right now as well. I feel like they show way too much, they spoil way too much, and it takes some of the fun out of the movie-going experience, because when they released the first Across the Spider-Verse trailer, they announced at the end of the trailer, they said, Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse Part 1. So when that first trailer came out, we already knew it was going to be a cliffhanger type of ending because it was going to be a two-part movie. So I went into this movie thinking in the back of my head, almost like I did when I was watching the Guardians trailer, thinking Rocket can't be dead here. Like, I saw clips of him in the trailer wearing a certain outfit in multiple different scenes fighting bad guys. So the entire time Rocket was laying on the table, I'm thinking, he's not really dead. He's not really dead. So the punch and the power of that emotion of, oh, he might actually die here, was never really truly there for me, because we already knew from the trailer that he really wasn't dead all along. And I kind of felt that same way with this movie, was through the last half hour, 45 minutes or so of the movie, I kept thinking in my head, like, oh, is this going to be the cliffhanger? Are we going to end with Miles Morales and the Oscar Isaac Spider-Man fighting on the train and him kind of sticking it to him, saying, like, you can't tell me what I need to do. It's my life and I'm going to do it a different way. And that was going to be the cliffhanger ending. And just a couple moments after that as well. Like, every time something new would happen, I would think, okay, is this the cliffhanger? Is this the cliffhanger? Like, we knew that the cliffhanger was coming because the first trailer said Part 1. So I just, when I think back on it, I just think, like, when you were making that first trailer, why would you even put Part 1 in there? Like, nobody knew that was coming before the trailer. People could have gone into this movie and legitimately been really shocked and really surprised to find out that it was going to be a to-be-continued. And like I said, clearly about half the theater that I was in, whether they just forgot or they never saw the trailer in the first place, I don't know, but anybody that complained about this movie when it was over, saying, I can't believe they did it as a to-be-continued, or I wish they didn't do that, like, you knew that that was happening going into it if you saw the trailer. It was right in there from day one. They called it Part 1. And maybe they tried to backtrack it because they did eventually pull the Part 1 off the name tag, but to me, the secret was already out. Like, we already knew months and months and months ago from that first trailer that this was going to end as a to-be-continued. So that's... And if that's your one knock on the movie, just like Guardians was a 5 movie for me. If that's your only knock on it is just that you didn't like the trailer showing too much information, then you're in a good spot. That's a good spot to be when that's the only complaint that you can have on it, is that the trailer showed too much. So love this movie. Tons and tons of fun. Animation, absolutely mind-blowing. Miles Morales, fantastic. One of the most fun characters that you're going to watch in a comic book superhero movie. Easily one of the easiest characters to root for and want to cheer on along the way. So, fantastic movie. If you have not had a chance to see it yet, and if you're somebody that listens to spoiler material, I promise you it's still worth your time to go see it. If you've listened to all the spoilers here and you know what happens, it's still worth your time to go check it out, I think. So if you haven't made it to a movie theater yet to check this out, definitely try to see it in the theater as well. It's going to be fun to watch at home on your own TV or on your iPad or whatever, however you watch movies at home. But this is one of those movies that you definitely want to see in the theater as well and really get that surround sound experience and see those colors and the animation style here on the biggest possible screen that you can see it on. So highly recommend this movie. It's a 4 for me. The first movie there was a 5, but they're crushing it with these Lord Miller Spider-Man Miles Morales films. They've all been fantastic, and I cannot wait to see where they take it here in the final movie. I want to see if my prediction is right. I want to see if we find out if the Prowler ends up actually being a good guy. That would be, to me, so cool to have two Miles Morales good guy characters taking on the Sinister Six and trying to get back and fight the other Spider-Man there as well, with Oscar Isaac and his team there. But all in all, great movie. Definitely go check it out if you haven't. And thanks for checking out another episode here on the DMSW podcast. The last thing I will end you with here on the episode today, we've got a new review on Apple Podcasts from Sarah. And if you are on Instagram, definitely go check her out. She is at Her Silly Symphony, all one word, Her Silly Symphony. I met Sarah when we were out doing our podcast, Mics Are Magic, event in Disneyland. And again, if you've heard our podcast, Mics Are Magic event, everybody that we hung out with and got to meet that day in the parks, we all instantly became a Disney family that day. It was like we had known these people for years and years, and just had an absolute blast hanging out with Sarah in the park. And she wrote a review, cannot thank her enough, here on Apple Podcasts, left a 5-star rating. And in her review, she said, "I started listening to the podcast shortly after I met Johnny at Disneyland during the podcast Mics Are Magic meetup. Johnny was such a kind, funny, and truly likable guy. His personality alone inspired me to check out this podcast, and I'm so glad I did. This podcast has great information and discussions delivered in such a fun and relatable way. So glad I met Johnny and discovered this podcast." And I feel the same exact way about Sarah as well. So glad that I got to meet her as part of the podcast, Mics Are Magic. If you heard the episode when I was on Hannah and Elisa's podcast, the Learning the Magic podcast, we talked about there were people that we didn't even know ahead of time that had planned to try to meet us up there in the parks. And I think that Sarah was one of those people. I didn't go into that day knowing I was going to meet Sarah or Erica, the Feminist Princess, or Kylie from Trending on Main Street either as well. But just so lucky how everything worked out, because everybody that we met that day was just absolutely fantastic. The coolest people, and I can't wait to team up with them again, like I said, when the day comes where we do another podcast, Mics Are Magic event, or whether we're just meeting up at the parks again somehow out there in Disneyland as a big group. Cannot wait to get out there and thank Sarah in person for leaving a review here on the show. That was really nice of her to do that. And as I tell you guys all the time, if you haven't had a chance to leave a review yet and you enjoy the podcast, you like what I'm doing here, that is the easiest thing that you can do to really help, legitimately help this show, is taking the time to leave that written review, because it'll get the podcast pushed better through the algorithm in the Apple Podcast app. And somebody typing in Disney World, Marvel into that search box, it gets the DMSW podcast pushed further and further up those rankings. So it legitimately helps the show if you can take the time to do that. And as I always say, if you're doing it for this show, please, please take the time to do it for all the podcasts that you listen to. If there's a podcast that you genuinely listen to week after week and you like what they do and you haven't left them a review, please take the time to do so. That's the best thing you can do to help all those different shows that you listen to, whether it's a Disney podcast, a Marvel podcast, or true crime, whatever that podcast is that you're a fan of. If you're going back to them week after week and listening to their content and their product, give them the time, do that written review, and help them out as well. So thank you again to Sarah for that review. Thank you anybody that checks out the podcast, listens to the podcast, downloads the podcast, shares it with a friend. It's all appreciated. Very, very much. I can't thank you guys enough. Thank you for checking out, hopefully, the double episode drop here today. First time ever trying that, episode 56 and episode 57. Thank you guys, and I will talk to you next time on the show. Take care.